Breaking news. This is your World War III update. Late night at a Canadian truck stop in a dirty old truck. It's about as serious as it's going to get. F-16s are now officially in play, according to Anthony Blinken, as was confirmed at the 75th annual NATO summit. Nuclear capable F-16s are now going to be gracing the skies of Ukraine, likely flown by NATO mercenaries emerging from surrounding NATO countries, striking targets inside Russia proper. Now, we must add the caveat of nuclear capable. From the Russians' point of view, following their military protocol, they must presume that these F-16s, which is a nuclear capable platform, could potentially have nuclear weapons on them. Now, I'm quite certain that Russian generals have a high confidence level that these planes do not possess actual nuclear weapons, but they must still follow the protocol. And the protocol dictates, and Vladimir Putin has made this explicitly clear, that the bases from which these planes take off from will be targets, will be valid targets, even if they stem from Romania or Poland. Why is that a problem? Well, when the Russians do inevitably retaliate against these airstrips from which these planes emerge, that's going to trigger Article 5. That means that an attack on one of the 32 NATO countries is an attack on all. That is the beginning of World War fucking 3. Now, you might be asking yourself, wouldn't they just fly the F-16s from Ukraine? Well, as I've been told by people who are very familiar with this subject, the F-16 is a very delicate machine. It is meant for rich countries to bomb poor countries. And as such, we've enjoyed the luxury of having very finely manicured airstrips, a very delicate infrastructure over the years, and a very, you know, regimented maintenance schedule, as well as a lot of training and expertise that goes into all of this stuff. You need that in order to fly these planes. Ukraine does not have that. Ukraine's airstrips have been mostly destroyed by the Russians, and the airstrips that they have are not going to be in a condition which is going to be conducive to the F-16 platform. So presumably then, these planes are being flown from outside of NATO countries. Okay? And the people who are going to be piloting these planes, and this is something that was just self-evident to me when I first even heard that the F-16s were going to be in play, and then of course more information comes out that confirmed this, that the pilots who are going to be piloting these planes, they're not going to be the Ukrainians who are doing all this training. You see, they have to make it look like that's what's going to be the case, because the Russians know that these planes take a lot of time to train people on. Had they brought the F-16s in a year and a half ago, the Russians would have been, wait a minute, these are definitely, you know, undeniably NATO pilots, because we know that a Ukrainian could not have possibly learned how to fly this platform that quickly. They're still going to know this, but the Russians are a very judicious bunch, so they're going to follow the steps. They're going to follow the protocols. And so they're going to presume then that, let's just say, these are Ukrainian pilots flying from NATO countries. It's not going to matter. They're coming from a NATO airbase. So we now have information, and many people who are in the military or former military are confirming, and in fact, there's been plans for mercenaries to be conscripted to fly these planes. Why would you put a rookie in a plane, right? When it's a very expensive platform, and when you're going to be doing something as delicate, and you don't want them screwing it up too, right? Like, you don't want them shooting the wrong thing or whatever. So you want people who are experienced, and you know you're going to have a endless line of volunteers, guys who are not wearing the stripes of any particular NATO nation state, but will be working under contract as mercenaries. So that's what's going to go down, and that's going to happen any hour now. We're going to hear about the first sorties, and that's when you know that we've crossed a World War III Rubicon. And Manchurian candidate Biden, who is referring to his
Vice President Kamala Harris today as Trump and Volodymyr Zelensky as Putin, still somehow has 80% of support from his constituency. I don't know how that is possible. The people who want you to think that he is competent enough to effectively run the country for another 4 years. Again, as I've said before, you could make the claim that he could run the country right now. You might even be able to debate with me whether or not he is competent to run the country right now, but not another 4 years, okay? And this is not a pitch for Trump either. In fact, I'm probably going to piss a lot of people off with some of the things that I'm going to say tonight, because I'm no Trump flunky. Unfortunately, a lot of people, because they feel so disenfranchised, they're so disillusioned by the system that they feel the need to just branch out to anybody who is telling them what they want to hear. But here's the thing. Trump may, and I will grant you this, he may be able to resolve numerous domestic issues. He's not going to be able to stop World War III. That's a much bigger problem than Trump is going to be able to solve. Now, I didn't want this video to get political, but quite frankly, at this point in my career, I don't give a flying fuck. I'm not here to cater to anybody's political sensitivities. The thing that Trump gets wrong about NATO is that what was the original intended purpose of NATO? That old adage, keep the Americans in, keep the Germans down, and keep the Russians out. Well, what happens if the Americans take a walk from NATO and back away in their support from NATO? What do you think is going to happen? Right now, 80% of the global reserve currency is US dollars. What is the other, well, maybe not 80%, but the 70%, and then 20% is the euro, and then the other 10% is like the yen and a few other currencies, okay? 20% is the euro. What is keeping the US dollar propped up right now is Europe being in a perpetual state of war with Russia. If Trump walks away from NATO, then NATO is going to dissolve. And what's going to happen is the Russians are going to start empowering the euro with cheap energy. And you're going to see Europe on steroids if they can continue to steal all the raw materials from all the other countries around the world. They're post-colonial subjects. So if they can do that and continue to do that, that is going to put the United States in a very serious predicament. The U.S. then is going to lose its global reserve currency status, and we are going to see an epochal financial collapse. I mean, something, you know, that we've never before seen in all of human history. It is going to be such an epic collapse of colossal proportions. There is not an adjective that could do this collapse justice. The amount of debt that we have built up, and the only reason why we are allowed to do this is because there is no competitor to the US dollar. The euro, as powered by cheap Russian energy, would be a viable contender to the US dollar. The U.S., rather smartly, as Machiavellian as it may be, they have decided to pit the Europeans against the Russians. Again, keep the Germans down, keep the Americans in, keep the Russians out. This deception about Trump being able to back out of NATO, and think about this, what is Trump expecting of NATO? He's saying, you guys need more weapons. You need to contribute more of your GDP to weapons. Well, who are those weapons going to be used for? The sole purpose of NATO, the sole enmity with NATO, is the Russians. So Trump is saying you need to build more weapons so that you can kill more Russians. But all people hear is the domestic aspect of it, which is great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a fan of the military-industrial complex. I'm just trying to tell you that this is a much bigger story than a single guy like Trump or Biden is going to get us out of. It might give us brief little bits of hope to believe that the guy in the executive seat actually is going to have a lame duck at that. He's only got 4 years maximum, unless some crazy shit hits the fan and his tenure is extended, that he's going to be able to really make any fundamental changes to this whatsoever. All he could potentially do, and some people say he'll slow it down, but he could in fact speed it up. Because, of course, if Zelensky is very worried, and right now people are talking about how Zelensky is proposing potentially having peace talks with Vladimir Putin, this is just a threat, basically, to NATO, saying that if you don't give me the weapons that we need, we're going to make peace with Vladimir Putin. And that's the last thing that the United States, Joe Biden, and Europe want at this point in time. Now, certain people within Europe that see what's happening, that see the manipulation, they want that, but they don't have a loud enough voice. I'm talking about some of the countries like Robert Fico and Viktor Orban, who, you know, I might not align with politically on everything, but they could be attempting to mediate this from a sincere perspective. Or it could just be to cement their own legacy as the guys who tried to stop World War III. Either way, we'll take it, right? They're trying to slow it down. But there is no way that Trump, because the whole purpose of NATO is to effectively dominate Europe. It's really a way to make Europe, the United States, vassal states. And as such, they have to stay in it. As soon as they back out of it, it dissolves, and then all of those countries will turn on the U.S. potentially, okay? And so in order for the U.S. to continue to expand its sphere of influence, because remember, when you're in a perpetual debt creation system, you need constant imperial expansion in some dimension, whether that be invading other countries or just dominating other countries financially. You need that expansionism. If they don't have that, the contraction begins. And it is going to be a colossal contraction. We're already seeing it in the streets. We're already seeing it in the inflation that Biden continuously lies about when he says that inflation is, the prices are coming down because inflation is down. We're not seeing deflation. Maybe in certain commodities that people don't need to live, like cars and things like that. There you're seeing deflation. You're not seeing deflation in food, in the price of fuel. And that's only going to go up when the Middle East lights up, which of course will be another Trump card that gets played. So if you like oil, I suggest that you stock up on it before Trump gets into office, because either way, and again, I know some people, and the problem that happens here is that the mainstream media is complete 110% trash, garbage, lies, cursory, surface level at best assessment of reality, right? And so what happens is that people start to get suspicious about what's really going on. So they start going down these alternative media rabbit holes. And in doing so, and trying to find alternative, more nuanced viewpoints, the hardliners in the mainstream media start to lambaste them and excoriate them with criticisms for just being curious about, you know, what's really going on in the world. And that breeds resentment in those people who just want a more nuanced point of view. And that resentment then forces them to go further down that rabbit hole. Okay, and when they go further down that rabbit hole, their views get even more far removed from the mainstream view, and the mainstream rails against them even more, pushing them even further. So we see an increasing polarization that happens, especially now in the era of the internet, as you have custom-made news feeds and filter bubbles that feed you back more information on the basis of what you like and what you've already seen. That just puts that whole process on steroids. And then, of course, people become incredibly polarized. So what tends to happen? I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but this is very important, because one thing you're going to find with all political pundits who are commenting on these issues, there's very few people who can maintain objectivity and be aware of their own biases. I see a lot of excellent commentators. I call them the click, okay? There's the Douglas McGregors, there's the Scott Ritters, there's the Alistair, what's his last name? I can't remember. All the guys that Judge Napolitano hosts on a regular basis, okay? You know, they all have a wealth of insight. The problem is they get so jaded with the American mainstream system that they start to really take it upon themselves to defend the Eastern point of view entirely, even though that has its own share of problems and comes with its own share of evils. So, you know, in railing against the mundane mainstream, they take on this alternative viewpoint, but it becomes increasingly more extreme and radicalized over time to the point where they're not objective and balanced anymore. So as much as I might go to those guys for certain bits of information, I also have to balance it out now because they've gone too far in one direction. And originally they were charged as Russian propagandists, and eventually they get pigeonholed so much that they actually become Russian propagandists, okay? So it's a very, when you're really trying to figure out what's going on, I can tell you guys right now, I've been made several offers. I've been given several opportunities to, at olive branches, if you will, to come up into the upper rungs of, I guess, just the influencer space. And I've turned down a lot of those opportunities because I march to the beat of my own drum. I don't want to be beholden to anybody. It's come at great expense to me, but I'd rather keep it the fuck real at the end of the day, okay? And we're going to ride it till the wheels fall off. I'm going to ride it with you guys. I'm going to continue to tell you how I see it. I don't withhold anything from you. You know, I withhold certain things, but, you know, you have to have some etiquette and decorum on here, which I'm not exhibiting tonight with all my F-bombs. But I'm not going to apologize for that because what's the point? We're going to have bigger problems real soon. I just get the sense that we're about to see the mother of all flashbulb events. And I like the term flashbulb event. If you don't know why I use that terminology in psychology, a flashbulb event is when something gets so deeply etched, an event is of such critical national importance that it gets so deeply etched into your mind that you remember where you were when it happened. I remember where I was when September 11th happens. And it's very important with a, dare I say, false flag event that it's flashbulb, that you remember where you were. Because it seeds those emotions that are going to be required to play out whatever sort of agenda they have planned and to fuel it with the propaganda that's going to be required. A friend of mine recently reminded me that before Pearl Harbor, 80% of people were against the war. After Pearl Harbor, 80% of people were for the war. So we might think right now that, you know, Putin is starting to gain popularity in the West, right? All it takes is one event. And I'm not talking about this event recently, you know, with the children's hospital thing. A lot of people can see through all of that. That's not, you know, they need something much bigger in scale. And if they want to, they'll get it. When I say they, I don't even know who I'm referring to. I know that evokes all kinds of shadowy cabal, guys smoking cigars in the dark room. I understand that. But the reason why I know that there's something going on is because, again, I mean, I've known this for a long time, but I tend to not discuss these kinds of things on the channel because I find it just, the comments we start to get on the channel really diminish the quality of the channel because you just start opening Pandora's box of cackamamie theories. But I can tell you that, let's just put it this way. There's a reason why media takes abrupt turns, like hard rights, hard lefts. All of a sudden, Joe Biden is now the enemy of, you know, mainstream media. How did that happen? When did that happen? Who made that decision? Who made that call? somebody in the middle of the night pushed a button. Somebody, okay? And when you know how easy people are to manipulate, it would not be that hard to do. It really would not. And as a person who has a background in psychology, I can tell you that it's incredibly easy to manipulate people. And I see the method. I see the methodology used by a lot of influencers who have far larger followings than I do. And if I use those methods, I would have massive followings. But I choose not to. I'm trying to keep it real. Okay, so other news today. I mean, we got deployments of long-range missile systems in Germany. New cruise missiles will have a range of 2,500 kilometers, which, of course, would be a violation of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, which the U.S. backed out of anyways. But basically, Russia is saying this is going to be the start of the next Cold War. I mean, we're already in. The Cold War has begun in 2022, February 24. France, Germany, Italy, and Poland have all agreed to long-range missiles over 500 kilometers to fill in the gap of Europe's arsenal. A lot of people mistakenly presume, and I hear a lot of the Russophiles, the guys who've been pushed too far in that direction, that NATO doesn't have any weapons because, you know, they're losing in Ukraine. And I just must remind people that Ukraine has been given maybe a dozen HIMARS, maybe a couple dozen HIMARS. The United States has 500 HIMARS. They have 5,000 fighter jets. The Russians know this, and this is why the Russians are also withholding. This idea that Ukraine is getting everything NATO has. Do you seriously think that NATO countries, knowing that a war could spill over into their borders, are going to disclose the true amounts of artillery shells that they actually have? Do you seriously think that these numbers that we're being given are everything that a country has? No, countries, and this is why coalitions and alliances don't really work against a unified country, because none of those individual nations are going to commit their best to the unified fight. They're all going to contribute, you know, 2-3% here of their stocks, but they're never going to give the bulk. And that is the reason. The Russians know, and they're not fooled by this idea that NATO is weak. Because if they were to start to think that, then they would go all in, potentially. And that could potentially backfire against them. The Russians, I think, are far more intelligent in their strategizing than a lot of people have given them credit throughout this entire process. Now, I'm not saying there's not a lot of blunders that get made. But when you look at how NATO has played the war, and when you look at all the media bullshit and the lies that we've been told about our side and how the Russians are running out of weapons and blah, 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 well, you know, it really starts to look that there is a strategy. And I've been saying this from day one. Remember, I've been saying that the Russians are chess players. And even though Garry Kasparov is no fan of Vladimir Putin, they still are able to think long term because they're not lame duck presidents. For starters, Putin's probably going to be in there till he dies. Xi Jinping is probably going to be there until he dies. They can think long term. Biden, all these guys are just flying by the seat of their pants. Justin Trudeau gave Zelensky another $500 million. Poland is preparing for war. According to the Chief of Staff General, Wisław Kukula, he said during a press conference that today we have to prepare our forces for a full-scale conflict, not an asymmetric one. Poland has also stopped Belarusian trucks from entering the country at a checkpoint in Kozlowice on the Belarusian border. The agency says that since 3 a.m. on July 10th, the Polish side no longer accepts trucks coming from Belarus. And Poland is also going to be getting its own missile shield. Jordan is going to be getting a NATO liaison office. And just a reminder, that was it Lavrov or Dmitry Medvedev who said that if Ukraine joins NATO, either Ukraine disappears or NATO does. I think the compromise ultimately is going to have to be Western Ukraine becomes Ukraine and joins NATO, and Russia gets the rest. That's likely what's going to go down. Oh, and China. Oh, did you know that gold almost hit another record high today? That's not good news. It's good news for people who hold gold, but of course, gold is a barometer for social chaos. That's not good. Four Chinese warships crossed into the U.S. EE zone near Alaska. The PLA and Russian navies conducted joint drills in WestPac, record-breaking military activity around Taiwan today, the largest Chinese single-day violation of Taiwan's air defense zone ever recorded. Nobody heard about it. And we might well see a civil war in the United States if this whole charade, circus, facade plays out. The Safeguard American Voter Eligibility, or SAVE Act, which would require voters to submit documented proof of U.S. citizenship, was passed in the House of Representatives with five Democrats crossing the party lines to void alongside Republicans. The act will now move to the Senate, however, where if it is also approved, Joe Biden has said that he will threaten to veto the act if it reaches his desk. And I think that's when we start seeing civil unrest. I gotta go. It's late. And I got a lot of work to do. So, and I think you do too. Keep on prepping, folks. Thanks for watching. Canadian Prepper out.